Russia's film industry has returned the favor of American depictions of Russians with its own portrayals of us. That sprightly vintage piano was from the VHS soundtrack of the Russian classic silent film The Extraordinary Adventures of Mr. West in the Land of the Bolsheviks. Directed in 1924 by Lev Kuleshov, it's an affectionate depiction of the trials and tribulations of a red-blooded Yankee in the socialist paradise.
So it's a kind of burlesque comedy western style, presenting silly but sympathetic American who finally understands that life in Soviet Russia is not so horrible as he imagined it would be.
Kirill Razlogov is the director of the Russian Institute for Cultural Research and a scholar of Soviet and Russian cinema. He says that like Russian portrayals in American films, in Russian cinema, depictions of Americans underwent similar mutations. For instance, he says, in the early years of communism, Russia had no grudge against the states. After all, both countries had wide open spaces, and under Lenin, Russians even tested the water of free enterprise, briefly.
In fact, American cinema was very popular in Russia in the 20s, and there was this period of new economic policy where there was no specific reason to hate Americans, in a way because Russians felt near to Americans than to Europeans.
Russians felt a certain kinship. What was that based on, do you think?
I think it was based on an absence of this hierarchy.
You're talking about class differences.
Yes, class differences. And that all people are equal, all people want to live better, and the country is working to do it.
Was there also a sort of cultural character? I mean, a certain less polished, more pioneering quality or something like that? Or
less civilized quality.
I sort of meant that.
It's true.
And maybe that was partly a source of that kinship, do you think?
Yes, of course. The 20s and the 30s still went on the idea that there is this overall proletarian solidarity. For example, there have been adaptations of Jack London novels. And in these adaptations, of course, the idea of proletarian Americans, the good ones, and rich Americans, the bad ones, were very clearly drawn. And of course, there was a film like The Circus with this American lady played by Lyubov Orlova with his black child. It was kind of comedy melodrama, and the Soviet Russia receives this American lady with a black child just pushed from the United States. That's the typical film of the 30s, by the way.
Which shows tremendous racial prejudice.
Yes, tremendous racial prejudice in America and the absence of racial prejudice in Russia.
So then, moving on to the 40s.
The 40s were the period when both countries fought the Germans. So there have been films which presented sympathetic Americans, people who fought the same war. The film that was the final blow to this image was a film called Encounter on the Elbe, which was the encounter between Russians and Americans at the end of the Second World War.
In this topsy-turvy account of history, an American conspires with Germans against the Russians.
Can I count on the German Social Democrats to create a special Eastern Bureau?
Absolutely.
It will prevent the labor parties from merging and will undermine the trust in communists?
I understand.
You say it was the final nail in the coffin of the good American?
Because it appeared almost at the same time that the speech by Churchill and the beginning of the Cold War.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is no time for generalities, and I will venture to be precise. From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent.
And so that was the late 40s. When was the next milestone?
Oh, the next milestone for Russian film history was the mid-50s, where Khrushchev came to power. The period was fighting about the image of Stalin, and it gave more freedom to the intelligentsia, to people making films. there was still no permission to show personal relations between Russians and Americans except in being a spy or something like that. So the Hollywood dream story about a CIA agent loving a KGB agent was, for the moment, impossible.
And so and we had the period of Gorbachev and Yeltsin. Was there a more realistic, less realistic notion of Americans during that period?
As far as the Yeltsin's period is concerned, the image of America moved from a political aspect to a criminal aspect. That means American mafia was the main character, and relations between American mafia and Russian mafia, American police force and Russian police force, which was the official policy supported by the state. That means that we have to get back to the idea of collaboration. And then the coming back to a nationalist point of view, the good Russians combating the bad Americans in the United States, like Brother 2. In Brother 1, the good guy kills every villain in St. Petersburg and goes to Moscow. In Brother 2, he goes to Moscow, then he moves to New York to kill the same villains.
Listen, what does it mean in English, how are you?
It means, how are you? How are you doing?
And they're interested in how I'm doing?
No, they're not interested.
So why do they ask?
For no reason. Everything here is for no reason, except for money.
Looking overall at the Soviet and Russian film history, it's far less stereotypical in its treatment of Americans than the American film industry has been in its treatment of Russians over the years. Is that your impression too?
There have been some stereotypical characters, but there was this undercurrent of sympathy to Americans which prevailed. There was never an image of, let's say, bad American because American. It was always an image of bad American because rich, or bad American because mafioso. Let's say senator was bad and government was bad. But there were always the good Americans, the repressed Americans, who were our counterpart of the Russian proletariat.
As my technical director ran through his head all the images of Russians he'd had, some of them were sympathetic. Some came from this cartoon show Rocky and Bullwinkle, characters like Boris and Natasha. Then there was Ninochka. Mm-hmm. Then there was The Russians Are Coming with Alan Arkin. And I just wonder, when Russians encounter these different images, do they enjoy these films? Are you able to do that? Or are the reactions personal?
Oh, the official reactions are bad. It was almost impossible to make an image of Russians which was conformed to the official image of Russians during the Soviet period, of course. So no films with images of Russians were ever shown, and they were considered absolutely forbidden. It was worse than a porno movie.
I say thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kirill Razlogov is the director of the Russian Institute for Cultural Research and a scholar of Soviet and Russian cinema. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Wolo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by me. Dylan Keefe is our technical director and Jennifer Munson our engineer. We had help from Andrea Ambro and Madeline Elish. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer. She just had a baby. And John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Ellison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
On the Media is supported by the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.